Good morning, everyone. It's so good to see my dad sitting here. Makes my heart happy. Yeah. So this morning, I'm going to primarily draw from one verse from our reading, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. There's many theories that explain human development from childhood to adulthood, but the one that I'm going to focus on this morning is called Maslow's Hierarchy of Needs. This was created in 1943 by a psychologist by the name of Abraham Maslow. If you've ever taken a first-year psychology course, then this is something that you will recognize. It's an every year first year psychology course. So this depicts Maslow's hierarchy of needs, and the premise is that you need to satisfy the lower needs before you're able to move on to the higher needs. So we're going to just take a minute and go through the different levels there. But I want you to notice as we do this how much the lower needs are really front and center for children. When I was a child, I thought like a child. I acted like a child. Well, the upper needs require increasing levels of maturity and might be more fulfilled, better fulfilled by adults. So the first level of physiological needs, these really are our biological needs. We, in order to survive, we need air to breathe. We need food to eat and water to drink. We need shelter and warmth. We need to sleep. Those are all part of our physiological needs. And we know that children are really good at getting these needs met. And they do this really well from day one. If you've ever been close to a crying baby, your instinct is just so strong to do whatever it takes to get that baby to stop crying. Not because it's annoying, because we just have this compassionate heart for children. And we will feed the baby, keep the baby warm, rock the baby, whatever it is that we have to do. So babies and older children, babies and children are understandably self-centered because they'll just do whatever they need to do in order to get these physiological needs met. Then we go on to safety needs, safety from the elements, safety from physical harm. Now, this is an area that's important to everyone, but children particularly are vulnerable to get these needs met by adults. So again, if you're not safe, you're going to use all of your energy to make sure that you are safe. You're not going to be able to focus on anything else if you're not safe. So after the physiological and the safety needs are looked after, then we have our social needs. And our social needs involves the feeling of belonging. So examples include having friends, being in relationships where intimacy and trust and acceptance is there. There's a need in this stage not only for receiving affection and love, but there is an important need to give affection and love. As I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, we know from studies that the most important factor in maintaining our physical and our emotional health is being in a supportive, loving relationship. So once that's looked after, or mostly looked after, then we look at the esteem needs. Maslow had two categories in our esteem needs. One was the need to feel dignity, the need to achieve things, the need to have a sense of mastery, having mastery over things, being able to do things well, and the need to be independent. And the second category is the desire for respect from others. So everyone wants to feel respected. So those are the esteem needs. The next area, self-actualization, we don't see this in children. So going back to 1 Corinthians 13, when I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. And if this happens, if we're able to put the ways of childhood behind us, then we can reach self-actualization. So Maslow described this stage as, these are his words, realizing our personal potential, self-fulfillment, seeking personal growth, and peak experiences. It is a desire to become everything one is capable of becoming. So it's well known that Maslow was an atheist. So because he did not believe in God, his understanding of how people grow and develop was very limited. It was limited to an earthly mindset. He didn't take into consideration that people are spiritual beings capable of a maturation that is Holy Spirit-led. He believed that there was a very few number of people who actually got to the level of self-actualization. And he described those people as natural-born leaders who had like amazing characteristics. But very few people would actually reach that level. He went on to describe more specifically the characteristics of the self-actualizers. So when I looked at this list, about 15 characteristics, I was really struck by something. So many of these characteristics are the very things that God wants us to be as his children. He desires these things for his children, and they are achievable, not through our own efforts, but as a result of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit who works in our hearts. I want to draw your attention to a few verses from the Bible that talks about the power of the Holy Spirit within us. Titus 3:4-6. But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of the righteous things that we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior. John 3:6, flesh gives birth to flesh, the Spirit gives birth to spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, so from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So perhaps what Maslow called self-actualization could be called Holy Spirit-driven behaviors and attitudes, and something that is attainable by more than just a small group of elite people. So let's have a look at some of these characteristics as described by Maslow. So first of all, he believed that people who are self-actualized can tolerate uncertainty. This has got to be one of the hardest things to do, waiting for a medical test, waiting for the results of a job interview or the application to a school or these important things in life that shapes our lives and our future. It's really difficult to sit and wait to find out what direction we're going. But God tells us not only how to do this, he tells us that if we do this, we can expect something from him. Philippians 4:6-7, he says, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So he tells us what to do, and then he tells us what to expect. if we do this, we can expect the peace of God, the peace of God which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. God gives us a way to find peace in the midst of uncertainty. Maslow stated that self-actualizers accept themselves and other people for what they are. Many of us struggle with this. We talked about this last week. But God tells us in 1 Peter exactly who we are. We are a chosen people. We are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. He tells us that each one of us is worthy. Maslow states that self-actualizers are spontaneous in thought and action. The scripture tells us we can be spontaneous because Christ has set us free. We are no longer burdened by a yoke of slavery. We do not live in fear, but in love and hope. Self-actualizers are problem-centered, not self-centered. The scripture tells us, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Self-actualizers are concerned about the welfare of humanity. Again, with the help of the Holy Spirit, we live our lives loving God, loving others, being a missional church, caring for ourselves and caring for other people in a way that honors God and honors every child of God. Self-actualizers are capable of a deep appreciation of basic life experiences. Philippians 4, 12 to 13, Paul provides such a great example of this. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all of this through him who gives me strength. Self-actualizers establish deep, satisfying interpersonal relationships. We know that the fruits of the Holy Spirit enable us to have deep, meaningful relationships with others. Galatians 5 from the Message. But what happens when we live in God's way? He brings gifts into our lives, much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others, exuberance about life, serenity. We develop a willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion in the heart, and a conviction that a basic holiness permeates things and people. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments, not needing to force our way in life, able to marshal and direct our energies wisely. Maslow believed that self-actualizers have peak experiences. He stated that this occurs when a person experiences the world totally for what it is, and there are feelings of euphoria, joy, and wonder. How many of you have stood in awe of God's creation? Watching the sunset, laying beneath the stars, staring into the face of a newborn. God's creativity is always at the center of these amazing peak experiences in our lives. Maslow believed that self-actualizers have strong moral and ethical standards. And as Christians, we do too, but it's so much more than morality and standards. It's more than a rigid set of rules. Jesus cautioned us against legalism that was self-serving and burdensome. Jesus taught us that morality always, always has to be based in love. From Matthew 22, all the law and prophets hang on these two commandments: love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. And the second is to love your neighbor as yourself. The law and the prophets are centered always in love. Without the power of the Holy Spirit, I might agree with Maslow that reaching this final stage of human development would be very difficult, but we know that with Christ, all things are possible. And just one final point. The second last verse of 1 Corinthians that was read this morning, or we watched on the video, says, "For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known." So when we think of reaching what Maslow calls self-actualization, realizing our personal potential, having peak experiences, and becoming everything one is capable of becoming, I love that as a result of God's love and the power of the Holy Spirit, we can experience these things. But I do believe that we're probably just getting a glimpse of what is to come. Now we're limited by our earthly mindset, but someday everything will be made clear to us. And someday we will become everything that we are meant to be.
Okay, so I'm going to go through some of these scriptures very quickly. Paul says that we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ Jesus. And so following up Joanne's comments, we find that Jesus had a difficult time trying to say anything new to people because of their stubborn mindset. They refused to believe anything different than what they had already believed. And so in John 5, 39 and 40, here's what Jesus is saying to the religious elite of his day who would not believe in him. He said, "You study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them, the scriptures, you have eternal life. But these are the scriptures that testify about me, and yet you refuse to come to me to have life." Faith begins in Christ Jesus. And there can be a difference between having information about Jesus and experiencing spiritual transformation because of Jesus. So we don't want to have a stubborn faith. We want to be open to the scriptures, and we want to continue to learn. We want to grow and have faith in Christ. So in Colossians 2, beginning in verse 6, Paul says this, "So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted in him, built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." And then we want to mature in that faith. So in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul gives this flowing, wonderful description about how to live life. And sort of interrupting that, he says this, Ephesians 4, verse 11. "So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceiving scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." That's a long paragraph, which is basically reminding us of, do you believe in Jesus? Yes. Then grow. Learn in him. There's no period at the end of this. It's an ongoing life following Christ. So we want to remember our new spiritual growth and life that we have in Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 3, in the middle of great suffering, Peter says this: "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven from you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in this last time." We have this power shield around us, God's power through our faith in him. And then if someone asks, "Why are you a Christian?" we want to tell them. Each one of us has a different story. We all became Christians through our own particular way. So when someone asks us, "Why are you a Christian?" you tell them your story. 1 Peter 3:15. "But in your hearts, acknowledge Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." I suspect that if you ask Michael why he became a Christian this week, he would be glad to tell you. And then we want to be people who know that we have received God's grace so that we can grow in that grace and love and joy and peace and patience and so forth. And so Peter says in 2 Peter 3 these words: "Above all, you must understand that in these last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. But in my notes, here's what I've written: but even when they laugh at you, scoff at you, here's what we do." Last scripture, 2 Peter 3:18. We grow. We grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets Sunday mornings at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We have classes for all ages at 9:30, and the worship service begins at 10:30. You can subscribe to podcasts through Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music Store, or your favorite podcast app. Just search for Beamsville. All our past sermons and more information about our congregation are available at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.